Hi, it's Chuck Jaffe, host of the Navigator podcast. And when I'm not doing the Navigator, I host Money Life, my own one-hour show that's available every weekday. Last week on Money Life, we were discussing closed-end funds with Jonathan Brown of Robinson Capital in a segment called the Money Life Market Call. Given the focus on closed-end funds, the Navigator's favorite subject, we didn't want you to miss it. So here it is, as a bonus episode of the Navigator. Enjoy! It's Market Call time, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers and market observers about how they do their job. What determines what they're buying and selling, what they see happening broadly on the market now, and how they are putting it all together. And my guest has been on Money Life before, but in the Navigator and not in the Market Call. So we were talking more broadly about closed-end funds with him then. Today, we're going to look at specific issues and more. His name is Jonathan Brown. He is portfolio manager and director of research for Robinson Capital. You can learn more at robinsonfunds.com. Jonathan Brown, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Now, we always start with methodology, and I know that a big part of your methodology, you've said that your clients are looking for maximum yield with minimum levels of risk, like losses, you know, that rule number one is avoid losses. Rule number two is make sure you're paying attention to rule number one. That is a big thing with your clients. So obviously that impacts the methodology, but explain how it works and how you actually put that into action.
Yeah, sure. So we're an alternative fixed income shop, and we've been investing in closed-end funds for the better part of 10 years now. Given today's low rate environment, you know, it's not apparent that traditional fixed income strategies are solving the needs for investors anymore. You have lower yields and increased credit or interest rate risk, which isn't ideal for one's portfolio. We believe that closed-end funds solve a lot of those challenges. And so we manage a couple 40 Act mutual funds, one that focuses predominantly on the municipal closed-end fund space, and the other is a multi-sector strategy that focuses on the taxable bond space. And so when we're looking at these closed-end funds, what really differentiates us is the fact that utilizing the fund structure, we're able to reduce or manage some of the risks that are inherent in closed-end funds. Sort of said differently, with municipal closed-end funds, we all know that they have long and levered durations, many well above 10 years. In an environment where rates are this low and you know the uncertainty surrounding inflation, we're able to manage that duration down to inside a year while still providing a above market yield. And we think that that's extremely attractive in this environment and something that, quite frankly, individual advisors or investors are challenged to do on an account-by-account basis. On the taxable side, it's less of an interest rate risk and more of credit risk. And so in a similar fashion, we have the ability to easily reduce some of that credit risk within the funds while still maintaining exposure to closed-end funds and the above-average income that they provide.
Given that you're looking for alternative investments and alternative sources of income, there have been some developments in the closed-end fund structure. In fact, recently on the Navigator, I was talking with someone from Thornburg, which has just entered the closed-end fund space. And what helped to drive them there was the new commonplace pricing structure, which is kind of inside baseball. It's a bit jargony. But for you, as you look at the developments that we've been seeing in the closed-end fund space, some of the evolution here, is that creating other opportunities for you?
You know, it does create opportunities. You know, I guess what I would say is it's always good to see innovation, you know, structures that may be more appealing to investors, or in the closed-end fund space, structures or innovations that may help to reduce some of that perpetual discount that we see inherent in a lot of the closed-end funds. So any type of new structure, we're absolutely open to. With that said, we do track all taxable and municipal closed-end funds in real time. And so while that's one component of our analysis, we're going to be looking across the spectrum at discount levels, at how each manager has performed over the short term, long term, you know, what are some of their inherent biases in their investment style, et cetera. So I would definitely say that that is a piece of the analysis, yes.
In terms of where you're at right now with closed-end funds, closed-end funds have been a fascinating space to watch during the pandemic because, oh my goodness, the discounts got enormous. And for anybody who is interested in closed-end funds and discounts are important, man, huge flashing buy signs. Then, of course, the discounts narrowed dramatically. And it was maybe you need to back away. Maybe we're not quite as attractive. And then things eased up. How do you see the space generally right now? And is it reasonably priced? Is it bargain priced? Is it pick and choose? Because there are a couple of bargains mixed in with some. How do you decide?
Obviously, going back to right after COVID when discounts were 10, 20% plus, any investor who understands closed-end funds could throw a dart at the wall, pick a closed-end fund, and they were pretty confident that they were going to make money as discounts narrowed, right? We've seen those discounts narrow to single digits in many cases, and in the muni space, we're seeing quite a few funds at a premium. I would say that how we're viewing the space going forward is we think that there are still absolutely pockets of investments that are attractive within closed-end funds, and part of that reason is we see the setup right now being very similar to 2010 to 2013 when almost all closed-end funds traded at significant premiums. You have a Fed that's still accommodative, and you have a Fed that has explicitly said that they're going to keep short rates lower for longer, which, as we all know, with the leveraged nature of closed-end funds, their borrowing costs are going to stay muted, which is ultimately a positive. And with yields being as low as they are, you know, investors are looking for other areas such as closed-end funds to really fill that income void. And so all of those factors combined really lead us to believe that we're in an environment where we should see most, if not, you know, all closed-end funds trade the premiums. With that being said, though, I think this is a perfect environment where you really need to be selective and an active manager. There are many closed-end funds that are no longer attractive, in our opinion, right now, but there are a handful that are. And so we think that utilizing a professional manager such as ourselves, who's constantly all day, every day, looking at, you know, the closed-end fund space and really trying to understand where the value is going to become critical for the advisor community, for the RIAs, for anyone really who's investing in closed-end funds and may not have the time to consistently analyze each and every fund out there and whether or not it's an attractive opportunity or not. And so there's definitely room for closed-end funds and closed-end fund discounts specifically to narrow, but you do have to be careful which funds you're looking to purchase.
So let's look at a fund that is kind of the poster child, the exemplar of what you're looking to purchase at Robinson Capital. What's a fund or two that really stand out to you right now?
One of the names that we like will stay in within Muni land is ticker MFM, the MFS Municipal Income Trust, for several reasons. One, compared to the space, it's trading at a reasonably wide discount, almost 6% as we speak. But sort of the second level analysis that I think is important to really take a look at is its management's ability to put up solid returns over time, and it does rank well compared to the rest of the community closed-end fund universe on that metric as well. So, you know, we think it has a strong management team and is trading at a wide discount relative to its history and on an absolute basis. So that's a name right now that we feel very comfortable with and like within the muni space.
And what makes you sell? When you find a fund like that one, what ultimately winds up making you sell? Because, you know, if I buy something at a good discount and the discount narrows, that's not necessarily bad for me. Maybe if it's a premium, I want to cash out and get that little bonus. But what ultimately normally makes you back away from a good fund that you found over time?
Yeah, a lot of it will have to do with the discount, right? And so if we're looking at MFM and it goes from a 6% discount and starts trading at a premium over weeks or months, we'll look at it relative to the rest of the options available in the muni close-end space to see, you know, how it ranks on a relative basis. we'll look at, you know, where its discount or premium and it premium sits relative to its own historical average, and we'll really use that to determine if there's a better investment outcome. Now, if it starts to trade at, you know, significant premiums, we may decide that there's more risk by owning it in the discount widening than there is sort of return from that discount continuing to narrow further or the premium continuing to get larger. And so if that's the case, then we may look to exit that closed-end fund entirely. And, you know, we may invest in an ETF until that discount level returns to a level that we think it becomes attractive on a risk-return basis.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some closed-end funds that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, we hope that Jonathan Brown might make your day, but it's going to depend on what he says if you're one of the lucky people enough to get through here. Jonathan Brown is portfolio manager and director of research at Robinson Capital, the Robinson Funds, robinsonfunds.com, the website. And of course, Quick and Dirty is where we put our guests to your test. You can test our guest and see if you feel lucky by sending your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. Hopefully they'll make it into an interview soon. And by the way, not just closed-end funds, but ETFs, traditional mutual funds, and of course, stocks. We start today with a request from Dan in Meadville, Pennsylvania. He wants to know about BKN. That's the BlackRock Investment Quality Muni Fund.
So I'm going to have to go ahead and say sell on BKN. Right now, BKN's trading at an 11% premium, which is about 15% above its five-year average discount and almost 14% above its 10-year average discount. So a lot of risk in that name if discounts start to widen. I will say it does have a good management track record, but again, that discount widening out or getting back to any sort of historical levels could very easily erode a portion, if not all, of the NAV returns of the fund. So I'm selling BKN.
And now for the profit taking.
Yeah, the good news is it worked up to that big premium. The bad news is you maybe don't want to hang on. That's a sell on BKN, BlackRock Investment Quality Muni Fund. Sticking with munis, Mike in Redwood City, California wants to know about the Invesco Value Muni Income Trust. That's IIM.
I'm going to also have to give that a sell rating. While it's not trading at an 11% premium, it is trading at a 1% premium, which is roughly 9% above its five-year average discount. Based on the models that we've built here at Robinson Capital, it shows as one of the most overvalued muni closed-end funds at present. So I think that any profit that may have been made would be better served capitalizing on and moving into a more undervalued muni closed-end fund at this time.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
So it's a sell on IIM, the Invesco Value Muni Income Trust. We'll stick with one more muni-oriented fund, but go pretty local on this one. Andrew in San Jose, California wants to know about Eaton Vance California Municipal Bond Fund. That's EVM.
Yeah, so on EVM, I'm saying this is a buy right now. It's trading at almost a 6% discount with a 4+% dividend that looks to be covering. So again, anyone in California, we think it's a great option for a state-specific muni at present, so I would be a buyer here.
He either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Finally, a muni fund that he can get behind, Jonathan Brown, and in this case, it's the good getting behind, not the kind of being left behind like that sound was. Eaton Vance, California Municipal Bond Fund, EVM, that was a buy. Let's get away from the munis and get over to high yield. Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland wants to know about the PGIM Short Duration High Yield Fund. That's ISD.
Yeah, so on that one, I'm also going to put a buy. We know that credit spreads are extremely tight, but with ISD, you're trading at a 5% discount, which compared to some of the other high yield closed-end fund peers is one of the widest discounts. Great management performance over the last 3 to 5 years. And given the current environment, you have to appreciate the short duration nature that this fund provides. So I'm going to put a buy recommendation on ISD.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep, that's a buy on PGIM, short duration, high yield, ISD. And last, for Andrew in San Jose again, and Rick in York, Pennsylvania, Nuveen Real Estate Income, JRS.
JRS is also going to be a buy by my ratings. Real estate obviously had gotten hit pretty hard with the unknown of how COVID was going to impact the sector. But with JRS, you're currently trading at a 6% discount, which is over 20% below its 10-year high of a 15% premium. I'm not saying it's going to get back up there, but you know, I think it does have the ability for significant, you know, discount compression. You know, it has solid short and long-term performance, and you know, real estate may perform well in an inflationary environment compared to many fixed income sectors. So JRS is a buy.
So we finish on a solid note, three buys in a row. Yeah, this case, the third buy was Nuveen Real Estate Income, JRS. And now we've got one more goodbye to talk about. It's the one where we say our goodbye to Jonathan Brown. But Jonathan, this was great. Don't be a stranger. Come back and do this with us again sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Jonathan Brown is Portfolio Manager and Director of Research at Robinson Capital. Learn more at RobinsonFunds.com.